organizations to connect and engage students and the broader community in an effort to build meaningful, collaborative relationships. Again, that's Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, June 6th and 7th at Portland State University. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Up next is Art Focus with host Joseph Galavan. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from McMenamin's Edgefield. Presenting two evenings with the Avett Brothers this September, touring behind their latest album, Magpie and the Dandelion. Avett Brothers tickets are on sale now at edgefieldconcerts.com.
Looks a scream, animal, now whoa, 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 Andy, whoa, silver scream, can't tell them apart.
My name's Joseph Galavan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week is Janelle Baglian. She owns Studio Art Direct, which is a fine art consulting firm here in Portland, specializing in regional artists for healthcare, hospitality, corporate, and government projects. Welcome to KBOO, Janelle.
Thank you.
So people might have visited the Kaiser Permanente Westside Medical Center, which is a brand new hospital in Hillsborough, and noticed that the art there is pretty, there's a lot of it and it's very good. And you are responsible for curating that art. So could you just tell us a little bit about that process?
Okay. Kaiser had put out a request for proposals all over the country, and we were shortlisted and selected to provide all the art, and 100% of it had to be regional art. And the process for selecting the artwork basically starts with sitting down with the entire design team, the architects, interior designers, PKA out of Portland here, and then the stakeholders from Kaiser to establish how we're going to theme the entire building. And in a healthcare setting, all artwork is selected to help patients, visitors, and staff, actually, reduce heart rates and lower blood pressure. So The goal of every piece of art in that healthcare facility or any of the many that we're working on now is with that goal in mind, to help people heal.
Mm-hmm. So as a piece of architecture, there is a decompression phase as you enter the building, right? As you approach and as you enter. So this particular building, there's a big glass wall on the outside with changing colors. It looks like water. Who's that by?
That's by Sue Groton from Portland. It's kiln-form glass, which Seattle's very much known for hand-blown glass, and we're very much known for kiln-form glass. And Sue's got about 30 years of experience. She's one of the best. And it's kiln-form glass laminated to stainless steel and then mounted into a rock wall using a clip system that required a lot of structural engineering. But when the sun hits it, the stainless behind it reflects different types of light depending on the day. So it's very beautiful.
So people would know that you have to get all that ready and install it during construction. So because It has to be seismic. So the artist has to know exactly what they're going to give you long before it's ever installed.
Oh, yes. So in the process, we were given over 192 pages of architectural plans, which also included the site and the building. Basically, we're designing everything off of something that doesn't exist, basically a set of plans, some 3D renderings and things like that. So all those components have to be, you've got to work with the general contractor on the site, which is Anderson Construction, landscape architects for lighting, when we're specifically talking about exterior, and everything needs to be structurally engineered because there's a lot of liability in These situations.
Outside, there's a Rip Caswell female elk with ducks. That's the kind of thing where you have to worry about people climbing on it, and You have to get insurance for all that kind of thing. Is that right?
Well, Studio Art Direct has basically a $2 million liability policy to handle something that might happen. That mama elk, it's a mother elk and her baby. It's called Mischief Underfoot, and it's cast bronze mm-hmm. by Rip, who's a premier wildlife sculptor. Mm-hmm. Happens to be here in Oregon. Very, very good. So again, there's structural engineering involved with footings for seismic, wind load, things like that.
Mm-hmm. There are Shelley Curtis Smith, who did the otters at Pioneer Courthouse Square. I think everyone knows them, and everyone's probably touched them at some point. She's got some beavers here. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You find patients and visitors touching these things and lingering.
Yeah, this one was a little bit of a tough one to convince Kaiser to put a sculpture right at the door, right as you walk in. And it's down at the level where kids can touch and crawl on it. People can rub it. You know, it's bronze, so it'll last many, many years. But it's sort of like a wishing. They're just very cute. Type of sculpture is very soft. You know, she kind of smooths out all the details. So they're very touchable and they make you smile when you walk in the door.
Mm-hmm. And then you walk in the lobby, there's a chandelier, I guess you call it. Very big thing hanging from the ceiling.
Yes.
With colored glass. And yes. Who's that by?
That's by Sue Grotten. That is 8 foot wide by 16 foot high, about 1,200 pound kiln form glass sculpture, kind of reminiscent of ginkgo leaves. Ginkgos are obviously medicinal, but also they're the oldest living fossil in the world. They're a great representation of longevity and good health. And that sculpture probably took us a year from design to completion,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of structural engineering, working with the general contractor to hang it from the skylight in the center of this beautiful glass-surrounded rotunda, which is the entry to the hospital there. Mm-hmm.
So you work with the artist, you know, back and forth, helping. Well, what they make a model, and then
It starts with drawings. We use 3D renderings from, in this case, MBBJ out of San Francisco. And we conceptualize. I knew that I wanted glass hanging there. So then it's a matter of ratcheting down, well, which artist am I going to work with? You know, it's got to be someone that I very much trust mm-hmm. in such a complicated installation that is actually hanging over people's heads. So mm-hmm. you you want somebody with a lot of experience with that. So we sat down and came up with some concepts, and I think Sue, we knew we wanted to do something that filled the space at a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew it was going to be kiln-form glass and a steel sort of structure. And then she came up with three concepts, and we run it up the flagpole with all the design team and stakeholders. I mean, there's probably, 15 people sitting around a table reviewing mm-hmm. what we're presenting. And from there, it goes to a quarter inch equals a foot scale model that was actually done with Mylar, cut out of Mylar. And then from there, we actually built, Sue actually built a full size model with the same height and everything in her studio so that we could, we had to model it for structural engineering, which is complex. I don't want to get into that, but it was just a fantastic process, but very necessary to make sure we got it right.
She made a full scale model out mm-hmm. of what?
She actually built the skylight in her studio and at the height that it was and the full scale out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then built a system to hang the model from, and then actually started building. Once the model was approved, we had studio visits with the architects and everybody to approve it. But and then once that model was approved, and it has to look good from every angle, and it's also viewable from the second floor mm-hmm. above the entry to the rotunda there. So it had to look good from all these different angles. So we had, you know, we had to create the real deal.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a committee process, or it's a group process, and a lot of artists probably wouldn't want to do that or go along with it.
I think that a lot of artists would. I think it's intimidating to artists, but we very much help them with that process. And, you know, that there's a lot of contractual, a lot of details in these types of installations, but we help. That's one of the things that we do. We help the artists get through those processes, you know? And because a lot of them don't have that type of experience, but we give them that experience. And I think it's really a great way to build your knowledge working in the built environment. Mm-hmm. The art and architecture is a very big movement right now, not only in healthcare, but hospitality, hotels, et cetera. And it can be intimidating, mm-hmm. but we help them.
Well, you become part of the construction process, so you mm-hmm. have to schedule yourself in. You know, you weren't allowed to put that chandelier in when the floor was done because it's a nice floor, and you know, you had to be in before the concrete.
Yeah. No, after the before the terrazzo went down, we couldn't do a scissor lift on a terrazzo floor mm-hmm. that might have damaged it. So all those schedulings of when things get installed have to be managed with the design team and the general contractor every step of the way.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine artists can't do that stuff.
No, we do that. We handle all of that.
Mm-hmm. When you go in, there's still a public area. There's a big waiting room, and there's a video loop playing. Mm-hmm. And what is that, and how long is it?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a 14-minute video loop shot in time-lapse and slow motion with a Steadicam. Just gorgeous. And the artist is David Fortney from Port Orford. Stunning work. He uses a GoPro and it on a Steadicam, so it's almost like you're walking down the beach or through a meadow, and it's shot from the Oregon coast all the way down into the Willamette Valley and the farmlands, and then the beautiful wheat fields and farms out in eastern Oregon. So it's kind of this 14-minute loop of the natural, gorgeous beauty of Oregon. It's very calming and very soothing and stunning.
Mm-hmm. And why is it 14 minutes?
The average stay in a waiting room is 14 minutes.
And that's sort of for the staff too. They get to appreciate things like that.
Yeah. The studies have shown with healthcare, there's a movement called evidence-based design. You could look it up on the internet. It's fascinating research on what types of colors and art and et cetera help people heal and calm nerves and things, because nobody walks into a hospital without stress, even if you're having a baby. It's been proven that TVs in waiting rooms cause stress. So they're not doing that anymore. The newer hospitals and the more forward-thinking healthcare companies are really looking at evidence-based design, the research done by Duke University, Texas A&M, some of the premier art and architecture, healthcare design PhDers have done a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
And TVs are not good.
So this landscape video, it pops up in other parts of the hospital, right?
Yes. And I knew once it got installed, they'd want to put it everywhere. So now it's, we license David. We pay a licensing and royalty fees, and we negotiate that with the artists, and it plays now in all the waiting rooms and on the patient bedside monitor. So a patient can pull the monitor right in front of them on their bed. They can push a touch screen and watch this video, as well as a guided tour of all the art in the building. There's 940 pieces of art. There's no way you're going to see it all. And matter of fact, the video that art guided tour doesn't even include all the art, but it's very beautiful.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week is Janelle Baglian of Studio Art Direct, and she curates art for different environments, usually public spaces, sometimes private. We're talking about the Kaiser Permanente Westside Medical Center, where how many pieces of art?
940.
And the emphasis was on regional art. So yeah. Your Rolodex is very strong on regional art.
Yes. I've been doing this for about 7 years, so I've gotten very connected into the art community. In that project, I think there's about 90 artists and poets, actually. And there were hundreds more craftsmen and installers and fine art printers and framers, and a lot of people in the community got put to work on that mm-hmm. job, for sure.
So when you start, you have to have a theme, right? And you, what is the theme here in this place?
The theme was, the overarching theme was tranquil relief through nature. It is, the studies have shown that in order to lower blood pressure and reduce heart rates in a healthcare setting, nature, whether it's very representational with photography, or if it's sort of a riff on like an abstracted landscape, are proven to help heal. Each floor was designated mountains for stability, was one floor forest representing longevity, and wildflowers was the floor where the OBGYN is, where babies are born, representing rejuvenation, and then water, which were the floor where a lot of the, well, where the operations are done. Mm-hmm. Water representing healing and replenishment. So we did selected art, all kinds of art for that floor based on that theme. Everything from poetry to sculpture to original paintings to, we did it probably 300 reproductions by regional artists that we handled all that for them. We just did the high-res files and did all the fine art printing giclées mm-hmm. for the patient rooms and things like that. So it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And I would say wildflowers is probably the hardest floor to curate. It was hard to find wildflower work that wasn't kitschy, you know?
Some of the pieces are original, some of them are limited editions, mm-hmm. and some are giclées, so you've made these prints.
Yes.
And what is it about a print in that kind of environment? Why do you...
In a healthcare environment, you have super bugs that can spread infections. So we're very careful about that. So in all the patient and exam rooms, we can't have original art in every room. You can't do it in a healthcare facility, and you can't do it in a hotel. It's just too expensive. So we will rotate like 5 different images in 25 rooms. So 5 images will go in 5 rooms, and 5 other images will go in 5. So in order to do that, we work with the artists to capture a very high resolution scan. We print it on very high quality canvas, and then we coated it with a super gloss protective coating. It was actually anti-graffiti. So if someone took a felt pen and mm-hmm. colored all over the painting, we could wash it off. But also so that the staff can clean it. It's a very important process in a facility like that. So I would say we've now published a lot on studioartdirect.com. We have published now and pay those artists royalties and sell their work. On mm-hmm. We probably have 200 works by regional artists that are available for other projects now.
Right,
we
once took you them reproduce into, them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did a North American licensing agreement with those artists. And we'll be opening the door up to that, to new artists, probably at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Got to get some new work in.
Right. So, Janelle, you've done, obviously, other places apart from hospitals. Mm-hmm. One of them is a hotel right downtown at Columbia and 6th called the Modera. It was redone 6 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. What's the art like in there?
That is owned by a company called Posh Ventures. And we had, unlike a healthcare facility where it's all about healing, in a hotel you can be a little more avant-garde. And a hotel often reflects when it's well done, and this is an award-winning boutique hotel. When it's well done, it captures sort of the personality, of the owners, I think. Mm-hmm. So you can be a lot more avant-garde. And in this case, the hotel was designed by Holtz Architecture, and it's very masculine because it has a mid-century modern vibe. If anybody's been in there, it's got a lot of masculine straight lines. It's kind of, you know, chunky and very simple. So I wanted to add some curve and recommended that we use the curve of the human body. And mm-hmm. so there's 172 rooms in that building, and guest rooms, and they're nudes by actually Bill Park. They're done in charcoal, and again we reproduced those and rotated them on every floor in every room. Mm-hmm. So every room has a beautiful but tasteful sort of gesture drawing nude done in charcoal on fine art paper. When we reproduce that on fine art, it's gorgeous, man. You cannot tell that it is not an original.
So
it's
you
beautiful.
Can reproduce charcoal on paper to look.
As a matter of fact,
realistic.
When I went to Bill Park's studio to look at his portfolio, he's extremely good, a figure drawer. And he's so good that it's almost too detailed and was too, we couldn't have too much T or A, and you know what that means. So basically on the floor of the studio really were these kind of coffee stained footprinted quick sketches, and I said these are perfect. So we did a high res scan of them, and in Photoshop took out, you know, smudges and stains and things like that, cleaned them up and reproduced them on fine art paper, William Turner fine art paper, and they're gorgeous. They're absolutely beautiful. And then Bill, more of Bill's work, we did abstractions in the lobby. There's another original called Sienna of a reclining woman in the lobby. And then there's a beautiful encaustic by Tyler Marches, I think is his name. Huge face of a kind of a winsome woman, you know, right as you walk into the lobby there. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
So another place that's getting a makeover is the old Red Lion over mm-hmm. by Lloyd Center.
Yes.
And that's upcoming, and that's going to be one of your jobs.
Yes.
What's going to happen there?
Well, I'm very excited about that. It's the same people who remodeled the Modera, and so it'll, and Holst Architecture is doing the architecture on it. So it's going to have that Northwest, you know, vibe meets maybe kind of a mid-century modern feel. And this is my idea for the theme. I've pitched it to the owner. They like it. So we'll see. We're in the very beginning stages. So we'll see where it goes. The theme would be sleep with words. And we'll be featuring, hopefully, have a feature one famous author per floor. So a story per story. And have them write basically a story specifically for that floor, where it's written down almost like a sketchy graffiti down the corridors. And then that story kind of carries into the room through art, through paintings, photography. I think we're going to custom make headboards with art on the headboards. And then the artwork throughout the building, and hopefully we'll be doing some interactive digital. I'm very excited about doing that, where a guest who comes into the lobby can actually make the installation move by their movement. So I don't quite know what that's going to look like or who's going to do it, but I'm really hopeful that we can do that. And then the art will incorporate words as well.
So you can conceive of something and then have an artist execute it.
That's what I do. I'm sort of I pull the vision together in my brain and, you know, kind of visualize it. I also have to look at, obviously, the floor plans and the design by the architecture firm and sit down with them and visualize it. Then I go and find the artist to make it work. So either if I don't have a contact, I'll put out a call to artists through RAC or other mediums, or I will contact someone that I know or put the word out. In the case of interactive video, we have some really good companies in this town and some great work coming out of even the art colleges, mm-hmm. hoping to involve maybe PNCA or the Art Institute. They don't know that yet, but that's what I'm hoping to do.
So Janelle, you're sort of getting work for artists, the way I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, they probably don't know they can do this stuff, mm-hmm. and you kind of help them a lot of the way with reproduction, with the law, with contracts, all mm-hmm. that stuff.
Yeah.
What kind of advice would you give to an artist who's competent but wants to get into this but doesn't know much?
First of all, you need to build a body of work. We a lot of my projects, we go big, you know, we have big walls to fill. So if you're painting, say you're a painter, for example, and you're painting a smattering of different sizes, you want to build a body of work that's fairly large. I would probably never do anything less than 24 by 36, and that's very small. Usually 48 by 72, and very rarely one. We're going to buy four, mm-hmm. probably, because we have big corridors and areas that we have to put work on the walls. So build a body of work that has a theme and that looks good, can look good together. And also, that's great advice if you want to get into galleries. Galleries want to show work as, you know, that holds together and looks good in the space. So I highly recommend a large body work based on a theme using the same size canvas.
In terms of knowing the business of art, what would you say to someone?
It's extremely important that artists know how to write a proposal, know how to schedule out the project. So we'll do a work back schedule. This is going to be due September 20th. What's the work back? When are we going to, usually if it's a commission, there's going to be three approval processes along the way. When are those dates going to be? What are you going to deliver on that date? Is it going to be in your studio? Or are you going to send me a JPEG along the way? We usually have palettes that we work off of. And so I will give the artist the palette.
Color palette?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they can incorporate those colors. There's many. As an artist, you got a gazillion colors to work with, so why not? You know, I very rarely buy stuff off the shelf. Very rarely. I usually commission. My life would be a lot easier if I didn't do this, but I usually commission everything. So on the originals, from sculpture to, you know, paintings and everything in between, multimedia. A lot of times purchasing to work with the palette. Now, we don't do this matchy-matchy business, but we want to create a cohesive theme and feeling within the project.
I guess artists may not think of their work as fitting in the theme, but maybe they should.
I've worked with some artists like Jenny Lee, for example. She has done commissions for me. And, you know, sometimes I'll push artists to do something that's in my head, and it ends up being very freeing and liberating for them because they can start going on a riff of their own down that pathway. If you're willing and open to the idea of working off a theme or riffing on a theme, it's fun. It's really fun to collaborate. I really enjoy working with artists who like to collaborate. It's very important to the process. The other thing I was going to say, the artists need to know how to write proposals, do invoices, include all their contact information whenever they're communicating with anybody. That means your address, your phone number, your email address, and your website. Don't be afraid to throw that out there. People might want to pick up the phone and call you, you know? So it's important to have that information.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose to motivate them, you know, not only do they get their work in a public place, but they get paid.
Oh, yeah. They get paid. And we purchase art at art dealer prices. They're going to get the same price as they would from a gallery. And sometimes we'll help artists price things out, too, if it's something unusual, if it's reproductions, royalties, things like that. We're doing a lot of really big art and architecture. So we're taking, for example, photography. It has to be super high-res files. And we're putting them on walls that are 14 feet high by 9 feet wide, prepping those files for that. You know, we help them with that and then figuring out what the royalty will be because we handle all the production. Because we have to keep the quality at a certain level. So we pay the artist royalties and licensing fees. And you should know your rights. Oregon has some very strong art laws. So check them out. Look online. See what they are. They're some of the strongest in the country.
So if there's artists out there listening, how would they get their work in front of you?
If they go to our website, studioartdirect.com, go to contacts or to the submit art page. I prefer to get a PDF, not a bunch of JPEGs. What we want to do is save you in the database. So I like it all in one nice PDF with your full contact information, pictures of your work with the title, medium, size, and the art dealer price underneath it. So it's very easy for me to access. If you send a bunch of JPEGs and, you know, you can send your web link, you can do all that. That's great, but that's not a little extra step with a PDF is fantastic. Easy for me to save. Easy for me to refer back to all in one place. So that's what I recommend that they do. And they just send it to info@studioartdirect.com.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My guest this week was Janelle Baglian. She's the owner of Studio Art Direct, a corporate art consulting firm specializing in regional artists for healthcare, hospitality, corporate, and government projects. Thanks very much for coming in, Janelle.
Thank you.
Andy Wallow's silver screen can't tell them apart at all.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Voices on the Ground, Resistance and Resilience, Friday and Saturday, June 6th and 7th at Portland State University. The keynote speaker will be Sherry Hunkala, a national activist in anti-poverty movements and co-founder of the Kensington Welfare Rights Union and the Poor People's Economic Human Rights. This two-day conference will focus on areas of human rights, criminalization, and pathologizing of identities and experiences, revolutionary tools, and more. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Muy buenas tardes, estás escuchando KBOO Portland. A continuación, un corte informativo en español. Anuncia el presidente Obama este martes desde Polonia que pretende potencializar la presencia militar de Estados Unidos en Europa. El presidente Obama pide al Congreso aprobar hasta $1 billón, que de ser aprobados serían utilizados para aumentar los ejercicios militares y misiones de entrenamiento en el continente europeo, así como para las fuerzas aéreas y terrestres. Cabe mencionar que esto sucede bajo un escenario de tensiones latentes con Rusia. Oregon debe reducir sus emisiones de dióxido de carbono en las plantas de energía casi a la mitad para el año 2030, lo anterior en virtud de los requisitos federales que la administración del presidente Obama anunció el pasado lunes para frenar el calentamiento global. Por esta razón,